Welcome to the Animus podcast. Today I'm talking to the wonderful Samantha Dunnage. Hey Sam, how are you doing?
Hi Rob, nice good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Cool.
Well.
So how's coaching going?
Well, it's been pretty crazy. I've been going a few months now and I've got quite a few clients. So I've got a bit of a mix of corporate clients and one-to-one clients. So okay. Yeah, it's going really well.
So corporate and one-to-one. So how did you go about getting those clients?
It's really been quite organic. I can't say that I've got a proven method yet, but working on it. So I've had a few just from networking, building up relationships with people. I've done a talk which has generated quite a lot of consultations for me. So I've had a few clients from there. And just sort of existing people that I already know that have sort of given me some work. So okay. a little bit of everything, really.
So people you know. And you said you did a talk. So how did you go about getting that talk?
So it's a networking group that I'm a member of. We get the opportunity to give an hour talk 3 times a year. Mm. So I went quite into my own personal story and went into some content about, you know, how we build up our limiting beliefs and that kind of thing. So, I got some really, really good feedback from that and did a little pitch at the end and got some consultations. So that was good.
So you said in that talk you talked about limiting beliefs. Mm. Is that sort of part of, I suppose, your niche or your area of work as a coach?
Yeah, so I work with high achievers and, you know, a lot of the time they're people that don't necessarily want to admit that they've got limiting beliefs because, you know, they're very driven, very focused on what they're doing. But I find, like, no matter how confident you are and how successful you are, there'll always be a limit where you think, oh, you know, I just can't go there. You know, I'm not good enough for that. So yeah, I really like working at that edge where people are starting to freak out and get anxiety and think, you know, oh, I can't do this. And helping them overcome that.
What sort of things might you do to help with your clients around that?
So the first step is awareness. So it doesn't always show up as fear, you know, it doesn't always show up as thought. Sometimes it's procrastination, you know, just avoiding, getting yourself busy rather than actually focusing on the thing you want to do. So bringing awareness to that is a massive step where they just sit there and go, oh, okay, yeah, I now know I need to refocus. Okay. And just sort of exploring really where that's come from and helping people be a bit vulnerable and actually think, okay, no, it's all right that I'm scared, but, you know, it doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. Like, it's, you know, the fear is there to tell me that I've got something to get over.
And it makes me curious about these high achievers that you're working with, that when you get them to that place of vulnerability, so what happens in that?
Yeah, they don't like me very much. Yeah, they say, Sam, you've broken me. I haven't slept for days or, you know, something. So they really hit this point of, sometimes it is a little bit of a crisis of, you know, I've just been running on the hamster wheel for a long time and hiding all of this fear and then suddenly it comes up. So that's why I'm there to help them work through it. And, you know, they start liking me again after a while.
And so what is it that you might, so if I'm your client and I come along and you break me and I'm there with my vulnerability, what might you do with me to support me around that?
A lot of listening and just being very, just keeping you back on track, because what happens when you start to get vulnerable is you then don't want to be, so you'll just step away. So it's almost like a, you know, dipping your toe in and coming back and just doing this process of working with the fear and just becoming more more comfortable with being vulnerable. And I think a massive part of it is the relationship. So, you know, I get really, really involved in the coaching relationship. I think me being vulnerable is really, really important to build a connection with someone. So I give a lot of myself in, you know, my Facebook group, on, you know, when I'm talking. That's why I'm vulnerable, because it sort of gives other people permission to say, oh, okay, well, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. And once someone's been vulnerable with you and you haven't judged them and you haven't gone, oh my God, you're scared? What? Oh, go away. You know, then it they know that they can be vulnerable with me, that then means they can then be vulnerable with like their friends or family, the people they work with. So yeah, it's just giving them that unconditional love, really, that you know, whatever they're feeling, it's okay, and they can work through it.
Thanks. So being vulnerable with your clients to enable them to be vulnerable with you, I'm always curious about what's the sort of the boundary of that, or is there a boundary around how vulnerable or how much of yourself you can bring to your clients? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a balance. I mean, it's not for me to sit there and start telling a whole sob story about, you know, my life or anything, but I'm now moving it more out of the coaching session and more into, you know, my Facebook group, into talks, where then I can really, really get vulnerable and really share that. I definitely find, what, you know, if I'm putting posts on Facebook pages or groups, if I'm being vulnerable about something, I get so much more engagement. And okay. People really are like, wow, thank you for sharing that. I'm feeling exactly the same. That's exactly what I needed to hear, you know. So I know that it helps people to think that they're not alone in their situation. Because we all get anxious and we all get fearful about things. And I feel like if you're not, you're in your comfort zone. So you're not actually pushing yourself.
Lovely. That notion of showing your vulnerability, so it gives them the gateway to show their own vulnerabilities. So that makes me wonder, what's vulnerable Sam like?
Is a mess inside. You know, like today coming here, I mean, I was quite anxious. You know, I've woken up with a sore throat, which is probably something to do with that, and I haven't slept. So, you know, that's, people might look at me and think, oh, you're really confident and you're coming across really well, but, you know, inside I've got that nervousness, and, you know, you just kind of throw yourself into it, and I know that I'll enjoy it and it'll all be fine. No one will die.
That's great. I suppose what I'm hearing there is that notion of you can feel those feelings. You can feel anxious and vulnerable and nervous about something, but it doesn't mean to not do that thing.
I think it means absolutely do that thing, you know. That's what's going to push you, that's what's going to help you grow. And then that becomes your comfort zone, so then you just, you know, you can get bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Lovely,
yeah.
Lovely.
And I think it's important to start with baby steps as well, you know. If you're going, you know, if I was going to go on stage with 10,000 people, I'd probably, I don't know, completely freak out. So it's a process of pushing yourself, becoming comfortable, pushing yourself.
Mm. So I wonder there, do any of your clients have that sense of a better question might be, what is there ever a point where you need to pull your clients back from the steps that they want to take in terms of expressing their vulnerability or jumping into their fears?
I haven't hit that yet. No, because I think it is it's a process, and I'm not going to push them any further than they're willing to go. So I'm there supporting them and holding the space and just making sure that, yeah, they're not going way, way out of their comfort zone. I think that one of the issues with being a high achiever is that when you achieve something really great, you have success, if it comes easy to you, which quite often it does, you don't appreciate your efforts. So you think, oh, well, that was easy, so it doesn't count.
So what part of what I'm hearing there is there's this sort of reflection, self-awareness, development, so they can take what they've already done and achieved to help them move forward and build their business or start a new business. And you said there that when you first started, you had those first couple of clients come easy. So what was that like with those first few clients?
Because it was people I knew, I just didn't really feel like I'd done anything to get them. So now that I'm doing, you know, speaking and networking, and I'm putting it, you know, more effort in, I feel like they're my proper clients. Yeah, so it's a bit of a curse, I think, of the high achiever, just to think, oh well, I didn't really put that effort in.
It's the curse of the high achiever, thinking they didn't. So with that what was the effort that you had put in to get those first couple of clients, even though they were friends?
Yeah, I mean, it's people I've known for a long time. They trust me. You know, I have put a lot of effort into nurturing the relationship and building that trust. So that's the effort. But I had a perceived effort of, you know, I have to go out and do all this networking and and find people who knew people. So actually, there's a lot in your circle that you know you can work with before having to go out and find new people.
I think that's really great for coaches to hear, especially new coaches. This notion that the people that already know and trust us are the people that might be able to bring us work or find us clients, mm-hmm. because we already have that relationship. And mm-hmm. something you said before about, you know, the relationship you have with your clients is the important thing. And I wonder, how do you go about developing that relationship with your clients?
So I start with quite a lengthy consultation.
How long's lengthy?
I mean, I say an hour and a half, but typically 2 hours. Some have run over that as well when we get into things. So I really want to know that I am passionate about the client and what they want to achieve. Because you know, if I'm not invested in it, I feel like it's not fair for me to work with that person. Mm. So it's as much for them to get to know me as for me to get to know them. And like I said, like a Facebook group, articles, that sort of thing to share my passions, what I believe in and all of that.
Writing articles. You're writing articles.
Yes.
Okay. And I noticed a little bit of tension, anxiety around
A little bit of tension, yeah. I do enjoy writing and making videos and things. I think at the moment I've got a bit of a conflict of time. So now that I'm busy with clients, it's how do I find the time to put into things like writing and marketing. So yeah, that's where my tension is at the moment.
And how do you help yourself, or what might you... So somebody's watching this and they want to write articles and they have that little bit of, ooh, you know, putting their writing out there. What might you offer them as something, as a takeaway?
I think if you're being... It comes back to the vulnerability again, I think. If you're being vulnerable and it feels a bit awkward to share something, then that's probably a good share. I like to quickly write things on my Facebook group and not really think about it too much, because if I think about it, I probably wouldn't post it. So
tell us a bit about this Facebook group.
So I started it while I was before I was qualified, and I remember I had a huge amount of tension around who do I think I am creating a Facebook group, who's gonna, you know, want to join. Am I going to keep it up? Am I going to get bored with it? So I just thought I'd just start it and I'll see what happens. I won't have any expectations. It's called Master Your Life. So it's just me sharing and hoping for other people to share things about how to improve your mindset, be more positive, have better relationships, communication, a bit of everything, really. I haven't really niched it down specifically. Yeah, and I share challenges on there. So we had a minimalism challenge. We've had a gratitude challenge that was really, really good. So a month of people sharing what they're grateful for every day in there, just to get that habit going of being grateful.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's fun. I really enjoy having the group.
And is that group just for your clients, or is it sort of an open group?
It's open to anyone who wants to join. The way I interact with my clients in between sessions is more on a WhatsApp or text or emails. So I have a more of a personal communication with them, and I'll share articles and videos and things with them when things pop up that I think they'll find useful. I think often you could see the same video 5 times and not really get what you need from it, and then after a coaching session, you've raise your awareness to something, and then you watch it and you're like, oh yeah, that's the magic, that's what I needed. So I tend to share things with them at specific times.
That's really interesting, because I know a lot of coaches have a tension between offering their clients things and sharing things with their clients that fear that they're leading their clients or being directive. I just wonder how's that for you with sharing articles?
I think things come up that I see that I think will be relevant, and then for me to, I just share it and say, look, this has come up, read it if you want to, you know, take what you want from it. I don't say to them, you know, read this because you need to hear this. If they read it, they read it. If they get something from it, then great. If not, then that's okay too. So I don't see it as leading as, you know, it's not, I'm giving you this advice if you have to follow it.
And do they, do that, does that sort of come back into the coaching session when they've read it? Do they sort of go, oh, thanks, or I didn't bother, or?
Yeah, it usually comes up as, oh, that was amazing, thank you. So that's why it gives me the confidence that it's a good thing for me to share with people. And I have kind of a bank of, I don't know, 5 to 10 videos or articles that I share time and time again, because I just know that they really hit the spot with people that I'm working with.
So where do you find these videos or articles from for yourself to sort of build that bank of information?
I love TED Talks. I'm constantly on YouTube watching TED Talks. Medium is really great for articles. And, yeah, just Facebook things that come up. You know, when you're following certain coaches and you're in certain groups, you get things that pop up time and time again.
Cool. Well, yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, Sam. If people want to find you, where would they go?
So my website is samanthadunnage.com. And the Facebook group's called Master Your Life. And my email is sam@samanthadunnage.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Sam. It's been a real pleasure.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.